If you want a little show and you don't know where to go, put on your headphones and hit the mark.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to Hit the Mark with Mark Levy. This is your host, Mark Levy, and of course, giant, giant thank you to James Folta and Morgan Miller. I almost just said Morgan Phillips, and Morgan Phillips will be on the show soon. Morgan Miller was just on it last week for the New Year's Eve episode, well, New Year's Week episode, and this is the other New Year's Week episode, because Happy New Year's, guys! We are coming at you on the first Monday of 2015.
Wait, did you say Monday?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, Dory, we'll get there. This is me recorded on Sunday, the first Sunday of 2015, but we are on the first Monday when you're hearing this, because that is how we are doing it today, and that is how it's done today, and I think it's my favorite guest talking before I introduced ever. That doesn't matter. I'm really excited about this episode. We'll get to that later. Ooh. Okay, so of course, you know, you can support the show in many, many different ways. Easiest way, go to iTunes, rate us, review us, 5 stars if you'd like. And how about this? If you want to try win that free t-shirt that no one has done yet, you can easily just go to iTunes, rate us, 5 stars. Today's slogan, today's quote is going to be, wait, it's Monday already?
Give me a fucking heart attack, man. I'm so fucked.
All right, so if you're right, wait, it's Monday already, and send a photo of that, of you, like, thumbs up with your iTunes and all that stuff, and email hchampod@gmail.com. You'll get yourself a Hit the Mark podcast t-shirt. And I feel like I should, like, because I'm feeling, this is a weird episode, because I don't have too many musicians on the show. I've had, like, 3 ever. So letting you guys know, this show is kind of like, if you're familiar with WTF with Mark Maron, it's like that. It's an interview-style conversation show. Lots of fun, just good conversation for about an hour. Just felt like I should get that out of the way, because I feel like there might be some new people listening to the show. And lots of great people in the New York comedy scene and acting scene are in the show, do the show. And I'm your host. And of course, you know, if you guys want to go Zazzle, you can, we have a store there. You can buy shirts, hats, mugs, anything you want. If it's not there, email hchampod@gmail.com. Say, hey, I want to a Galaxy S5 case, and I will put it on there if you buy it. Awesome. And also, you know, you can support the show monetarily by going hitthemark.podomatic.com. You'll see all 180 numbered episodes, plus the 13 or so unnumbered episodes. And on the side, you'll see a PayPal button there. And that will be where you can donate as much or as little as you want to the show. It helps support the show, keeps it free, keeps it awesome, and makes it great for you guys and for me too. Like I said, we've been doing this for 180 episodes. That's insane to me. I really don't know how I've done this for 180 episodes. I don't know how. I'm very honored, very happy to do that. So cool. Today's guest, Melissa Foles and Logan Neville. Yeah. That's the second time I ever said it aloud.
Okay.
We'll be talking to her very shortly, but first, this is gonna be a weird review because I made such a big deal about this movie in the Morgan Miller episode before it was possibly going to be released, and now I've seen it twice. I was talking about The Interview. The Interview, wow, I really enjoyed that film a lot. I knew I was going to like it. I mean, I mean, Seth Rogen is my inspiration for life. If you've looked at me, you understand. James Franco is awesome most of the time. He's brilliant in this movie. Like, this is the funniest James Franco has been in a while. It's a good, sharp satire. I don't need to go much more into the movie, into the details. It's not an amazing movie, I will say that. I mean, like, if I had stars for my rating system instead of yay or nay, it would probably be a three out of 5 stars. But it's enjoyable. What's with my voice today? This is weird. Whatever. The Interview is really good, and I say go see it. If you like that kind of movie, go see it. If you want to see it because of patriotic duty, still see it. Because honestly, like, the movie should be seen. It's funny. And Eminem has a very funny cameo in the beginning of the movie. So it hits the mark totally. Okay, so today's guest, you know her if you watch the Chris Gethard show. She was the third random. I almost just said the second, but I'm like, nope, there was Andrew before you. She is the lead singer of Circadian Clock. She just got weird by that. She is an awesome friend of the show, and like I said, one of the only musicians I've ever had on the show. Very excited to have her on. Melissa Folsom Logan, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. Thanks for coming all the way out here.
No problem, man.
Yeah, how are you doing on this year so far?
This year so far, it's okay. It's all right. Like, I woke up, like, New Year's Day, I woke up from a text from my ex, and then I found out this guy that I was interested in just got a girlfriend, so I was like, oh, all right, that's over. But I found I didn't fail my Spanish class.
Good.
Then my band played a show at this bar with this awesome band called Sister Helen.
I've actually heard them.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
They're one of my favorite bands in the city, honestly.
You guys have to check out Circadian Clock. They have a really amazing EP on iTunes right now. Good. At least one, right?
Yeah, we only have one EP. Yeah. We're currently working on our, debut full album release.
Yeah.
We're working on this concept album about these two people who are destined soulmates, but are also destined to never meet in their lifetimes. And the only time they ever meet each other is in their dreams.
Nice.
So that's what we're working on now. I'm really excited. The old EP that we have up on iTunes it's good, but, you know, we worked on it a while ago, and it was with, you know, a different, like, you know, I've changed the lineup a lot. So, you know, a completely different lineup now. You know, we're like Circadian 2.0. Like, we way upgraded it. Like, the guys I'm playing with, honestly, like, I'm honored that I get to make music with these people.
Yeah.
They're geniuses. And
well, you're pretty fucking talented.
Well, thank you.
Like I've told you many a time, I'm like, I love rap. Like, the EP is amazing.
Thanks.
I even listened to it today while getting ready. my roommate was like here. He was like, that's good music. Like, so, yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, you're super fucking talented, and I know you're more than talented than just a rock star talent, because you also play violin.
Thanks, yeah.
You're getting really humble right now.
I appreciate that you know stuff about me. Yeah, I've been playing violin for 18 years. That's how I started into music, yeah.
Wow, 18 years?
Yeah.
You were like a prodigy, weren't you?
I was pretty good at the violin from a young age. I got a lot of scholarships, which is, I mean, I've had a lot of music education, like a lot. I went to Pearson 73. That's where I started the violin. When I left Pearson 73, which is, like, you know, my elementary school.
Where is that?
Oh, that's at 173rd Street.
Okay.
Manhattan.
Well, that's funny.
Yeah.
Is that how they're all, like, named?
No.
Okay.
Like, I don't know if it's just that one, but that one in particular is 173rd. I don't think the rest of them are. Most of them aren't. That one just happens.
Like, because, like, when I'm from Miami, like, public schools are just called Howard or Palmetto and stuff like that, you know.
Here we're just like PS and then a number, and then they just decided that one should be that number.
I'm always weirded out by, like, it's like PS 444. Like, what? Mm-hmm. Like, that's a weird number.
Just name it.
Yeah.
Name it. I always got mad at, like, classical composers, and they'd be like, Sonata number 7. Like, fucking name it. You spent hours, days, weeks, months, however long writing this piece.
Yeah.
It means something to you. Give it a name. It's your child. Jesus.
Well, that's
no one names their child 4.
Unless they're, like, really horrible parents.
Yeah, you shouldn't have those kids.
Are you familiar with, like, Lewis Black?
Yeah.
There's a really funny thing he used to do all about, like, horrible baby names. Mm-hmm. And he said the worst, like, baby name ever was Absidae.
Absidae?
A-B-C-D-E. apparently,
I was like, Absidae sounds like a really nice name. Like, I like the name, but spelled A-B-C-D, that's the saddest shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was actually real, too. Like, because I know he was, like, taking names. I think he was taking names from, like, real places.
Mm-hmm.
He said it was, like, from Florida, so, of course, it's real.
Good job, Florida.
Yep. My home state's great. Mm-hmm. oh, man, I'm so happy to have you on the show. Also, let you guys know, this episode's 104 that are coming up that I feel like I made a mistake with, because I've been telling people, hey, email my email hmpod@gmail.com, and it was not syncing up to my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, like, a few emails that came up that will be up with all the episodes will be up probably by February. I'm very embarrassed by how long it took. Some of them as long like 6 months.
I think
you were on the farther end of the spectrum too.
Oh, don't worry about it, dude. That's just how that goes.
Okay.
I messed up like a while ago. I had a GoFundMe type project, Indiegogo project. Where I was trying to fundraise money so we could film our music video for Brightside. This is one
great
of
video,
to...
by the way.
Thanks. Yeah, it was super legit. Like, we actually hired a legitimate company, so it looks good. And, you know, I was really happy with the way it came out and the work I put into it. But I did a fundraiser to help raise some money for, you know, like the expenses, you know, just day-to-day kind of stuff for, you know, making it work. And I told everyone that, you know, the amount you donate corresponds to a prize that you can win.
Uh-huh.
And I plan on doing it this month because I'm out of school and I have time for it. But,
right.
Like, that was in May and I totally need to still do that. It's going to get done. It's really on my list of things to do. For
so if you listen to the show and you donated Brightside, I know I donated Brightside, but I don't think I donated that much because I've been very poor.
You probably, if you, thank you for that. And
no, I like I said, I'm a fan of your music, so.
Yeah, I'll get to that this month.
I think it was like karma or like whatever, mm-hmm. So which I'm cool with. So.
No, for everyone who donated, gets something.
Okay, cool. Great. So,
yeah, I'll do a thing.
We'll let you know my address is definitely different, so.
I know where you live.
Yeah, so. Yeah. We are recording my apartment in Park Slope.
Yeah.
Biggest, one of the bigger neighborhoods in the city. Yeah. Ooh, mysterious. Was now.
Two? No. I don't know why you're joking. But I know where you live.
There is a two in the number somewhere. Mm-hmm. That's all you know.
Yeah. I forgot where I am right now. I'm not going to lie.
You are like, I'm just like in a brownstone.
I'm in a house. That's all I know right now.
You're making it sound like I kidnapped you and brought you here.
No. I came here of my own volition. I just have the worst short-term memory.
You really do have bad short-term memory.
It's really sad. Yeah. Like, I have a fantastic long-term memory.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I remember pieces I played when I was like 4 or 5 years old, like to the T. I remember sentences people said to me once, like 12 years
ago. Oh my God, same here.
But I don't remember. Like, I read your address as I got here. And then I looked at the door, and I was like, I'm here, and now that I'm here, I don't remember what that number was.
Okay. Cool. So if you guys ever want to tell something important or very unimportant to Melissa, she'll remember for like 2 seconds.
Oh, no. If it has shock value or a great entertainment value, I will remember.
Okay.
I remember stories very well.
Yeah, that's true. I remember like, and you always have a good story, too.
I like stories.
You like, we've had many a good conversation in Lincoln Park. Yeah. About weird stuff.
Yeah, it's a good place for stories.
Yeah, great place in general. Mm-hmm. Especially on Wednesday, well, Thursday morning.
Yeah.
At midnight. Mm-hmm. Well, like 12:05.
It's like Wednesday night.
Literally it is Thursday.
Yeah.
But it's not Thursday.
Yeah, but for me it's like Thursday morning, it's like that's like 6 o'clock and onwards, okay? Because nobody's like, when you tell people we're meeting up on Thursday morning, to me it's the same thing where it's like on December 31st and people are like, all right, see you next year. Like, yo, shut the fuck up. I'll see you in like an hour. Like, I'll see you.
That's what I was doing all day at work on December 31st. I'm like, I'll see you next year.
I hate that shit. I'm sorry. I love you. I hate that
Yeah,
shit.
That's fine. It's fine.
But I just get bitter about certain
please,
things.
Please, I'm like the most cliche human being in the world.
Well, you know what? Are you happy?
I'm pretty happy.
Then
sometimes.
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
That's really all that matters. I'm just bitter as fuck. I totally am, man. I'm so fucking bitter for no reason.
Why?
I don't know.
It's because you're like a tough New York girl?
I guess, yeah. But I just get bitter about that kind of shit. And people are like, he'll be next year. And I think, like, for the same reason, this year I accidentally ruined Christmas for my mom. Because I'm bitter. Like, okay.
You ruined Christmas?
Christmas Eve, right? I was like hanging out with my friend. And then I get home, and then my mom was in the hospital. My mom's elderly, so I was really worried. She had a bad bout of bronchitis. She's okay now.
Okay,
and
that's
she's,
good
you know,
hear.
They took care of her and everything. But she spent Christmas Eve and then Christmas Day in the hospital. And then I was just, you know, I was hanging out with her in the hospital. And then she goes, like, oh, how sad to spend Christmas in the hospital. And I go, well, you know, Christmas really doesn't mean anything. And she goes, well, what do you mean? I'm like, well,
oh,
I mean.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
And I'm like, well, you know, Jesus wasn't born in the winter. He was born in the summer. They changed the date so that when the Christians were trying to colonize the Norse people, because the Norse people had a lot of holidays and the solstice happening in the winter, they just decided to move the meaning of Jesus' birth and the significance of their religion into the winter, which is why we have, which is why we celebrate it in the winter. It has nothing to do with Jesus' birth. We just use it as a tool to control these other people and assimilate them into our culture.
I mean, it's like the same thing with Hanukkah. Hanukkah is a really honest and minor holiday in Judaism, but, like, the fact that, like, you know, I mean, it's a cool story what happened, but that's mm-hmm. about it. Like, it was a minor holiday until, like, 80 years ago. And then, like, you know, it's like Christmas, like, was so big, you know, my people were like, yeah, let's make it Hanukkah big, you know.
Mm-hmm. So. Good for that, man. I actually look forward more to Hanukkah than Christmas. I don't celebrate Hanukkah. It's just that every Hanukkah, somebody Jewish invites me to their Jewish family gathering.
Oh.
And that's the most fun.
Yeah, our families are insane.
Oh, it's adorable. They're so cute. They're a family. Like, I spend it with my friend Sam.
Yeah.
And, like, her giant, you know, I mean, not giant, but, you know, her family. And they're all, like, the nicest people, and they have, like, all these, like, adorable kids, and we just get together and, like, eat challah bread and sing, like, Christmas music with Jewish, like, words and lyrics and stuff like that over it.
That's fun.
It's adorable. It was so much more fun than, like, my own Christmas was sad because I spent it alone at home waiting for my mom to get out of the hospital.
That's really sad, yeah.
It is sad.
I mean, at least it's not, like, brick sad.
Yeah, I mean, like, she didn't die, so yeah. It could be sadder.
Jesus, that'd be terrible to have.
Yeah, I know. So that's why I'm bitter again.
Okay, that's fine.
My whole life is just a series of very sad events.
Wow, this is a great year. This is a great way to start off the 2015 episodes, right?
It's any consolation. I mean, yeah, I mean, I hope 2015 is... It's all right. 2014 was actually pretty good.
Always. It was good for me in certain ways and terrible, like, absolutely terrible for me in many ways. So, yeah, it's fine. I mean, it's in the past. I will say this, I partied a lot already in 2015, which I'm very happy about.
You what?
I've partied a lot.
Nice.
Like, every night I've gone out.
Nice.
Like, of course, New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. Then New Year's Day, I went to the, I went to the secret jam at UCB. Mm-hmm. And then on the day after, I worked and I did karaoke with coworkers mm-hmm. till like 4 a.m. And then, last night, I went to a show at UCB and then partied afterwards. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Enjoy yourself. I wish I could. I used to, like, be a crazy party animal, like, to the point where it was, like, literally problematic. And it got so bad that eventually I couldn't sing anymore. Like,
well, I've been told about that, yeah.
I mean, I blew out my voice because I have a very aggressive singing style. But I used to just, like, I was just, like, smoking weed, like, constantly and drinking, like, all the time.
Yeah.
And it was so bad that I eventually couldn't sing, and I went to the doctor, and she was just like, you have to stop everything you're doing or you'll never be able to sing again. She's like, you have acid reflux that's so bad it's shooting acid into your throat and damaging your ability to sing. And if you don't stop, you'll never be able to sing again. So I had to completely stop. And it was really hard, but I mean...
Well, it's good you stopped because I like your voice.
Well, thanks. I do too. That's why I stopped doing that. Because I was like, I like singing more than I like drugs and alcohol enough.
Yeah.
It was real. It's real up there in the stuff I like, but I like, I mean,
singing is possibly like... and make you a rock star.
I mean, I would like that. That would be pretty cool by me. But I really do like singing. It's the thing in the world that makes me happiest. So.
Yeah, that's good. And the thing that makes you in the world that makes you the happiest, that doesn't hurt you, should be the top priority.
Yeah.
Like, acting is the most important thing to me right now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Cool. All right. We got sentimental. Yeah, only took less than 18 minutes in. That's good. We're done. No. All right,
no so. More sincerity. Dick jokes. Go.
Oh, boy. I love this episode, right? So, what was, like, your big music inspiration growing up?
My big music inspiration? I've had a lot because I've gone over so many different styles of music. Like, growing up, I was really into classical music because, you know, I played the violin.
Right.
So, you know, I got really into the classical music. And then, you know... It was a combination of, like, classical music and, like, the pop music that I had around, like, a radio. Like, I used to have, like, a poster of Britney Spears that I kept in my closet. And I made a shrine to her, but not because I was that interested in Britney Spears. I just really liked Hey Arnold. And Helga had this shrine to Arnold in her closet.
Right,
and I had enough space in my closet that I was like, that sounds cool, I'm gonna do that. But I didn't actually, I like Britney Spears, I didn't really care that much.
But I mean, like, when you were growing up, like, you know, she was, like, the only, like... cool, good idol, I feel like.
Yeah, I guess.
Aguilera, I mean, kind of, but Aguilera was nothing compared to Britney
No,
Spears.
Britney was, like, the big thing, so I always thought she was really cool. But then, you know, I wouldn't say she was, like, a big musical influence on me, but, like, you know, I listened to a lot of pop, you know, got the pop, and, you know, and...
Guys, if you listen to Circadian Clock, you'll realize every song sounds like Toxic.
Yes. Every single one of our songs sounds like exactly like Toxic. I actually love that fucking song.
That's a great song. It's probably her best song.
I would say so.
It's
way up there.
It's definitely up there. Like, because it's danceable and it's, like, lyrically sound.
Yeah, but it's got so much style. Like, that violin. I don't have enough time to explain the chord structure of why that's cool, but I just think it's really cool.
You have time, but I think
it wouldn't be worth it.
I just, like, imagine, like, I don't know, like, Cliff Henning listens to me, like, what's happening?
Even
against music and stuff like that, but
no,
yeah.
It's the type of scale that they use, but it's not important. Well, it's a really cool song. But, you know, I listen to, you know, pop around, you know, but then I got into high school, and then... No, not even I got into high school. I got into middle school, and then, like, you know, I started listening to, like, Green Day and, like, you know, just, like, random rock acts that were on, like, you know, K-Rock in the day. And
Green Day still, like, holds up till American Idiot, I feel like.
I liked American Idiot. I got, when I started kind of listening to Green Day, was, like, right around when they released American Idiot.
Yeah.
So then that allowed me to get into their other stuff. But then, you know, I would, you know, my dad listened to a lot of, like, he listened to Green Day, he listened to, like, Nirvana, he listened to a lot of stuff. And then my siblings, like, I don't live with them, I never did, but they had a, well, I mean, I lived with my sister for a while, but growing up, I didn't live with my siblings, so they had a, my brother and sister were both, like, very much in, like, rock, metal, they were into really heavy shit, too. So, like, I didn't get into, like, because my sister was listening to, like, Cradle of Filth and, like, something like that.
Jesus Christ. I know. That's a band I've only heard of.
they're very Jersey. My brother and sister from Jersey. They're very Jersey kids. So they're Jersey metalheads. But she was listening to really heavy stuff. But then I got into some of the less heavy stuff, like System of a Down and, like,
It's so weird, because, like, I remember, like, when System of a Down came out, like, this shit's so heavy.
Oh, it is heavy.
It's heavy, but it's,
if,
like,
you compare it to Cradle of Filth, it's just, like, it's not as angry, which is saying something.
Like, I remember, like, I got to Slipknot for a little while, and I was like, this shit's so good. And then I realized, I don't like this musically or anything. granted, like, that's, like, when Limp Bizkit was popular and stuff like that.
No.
I'm not going to lie, I've admitted it before, I have paid a Limp Bizkit live before.
Hey, listen.
And it was a great show, honestly. It really was, honestly, a great show.
Mm-hmm. And when you make it that big, you got to put on a good show, and there's value in it. And you know what? If you find things that have worked to you, that's important.
Like, and I was, like, 14 when I saw this concert. It's not like when
excusable.
This was, like, when Nookie came out. So, like, and that album was actually pretty solid.
I mean, Limp Bizkit. The first actual concert that I ever went to was a Staind concert. So, like, you know, when you're young, it happens, you know?
Like, you chose to like concert, or like...
No, my brother and my sister wanted to go. My dad had, like, free tickets, so I was like, all right. So we all got in the car, and we all, like... I'm wearing, like, my goth pants, like, a, you know, trip pants from Hot Topic.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I'm so hardcore! And then, you know, I listened to Staind, in my head, I was like, this is good! And in my heart, I was like, this is not good.
I don't know, I was like... I'm not gonna lie, there are like three Limp Bizkit songs still on my iPod, and like three Korn songs still on my iPod.
It's okay, I got some Linkin Park secretly hiding.
I got Linkin Park in my iPod too.
Mm-hmm. Cyber Theory was good.
And it was the most recent, The Catalyst, had some good songs on it too.
I haven't listened. I've completely lost faith in Linkin Park.
I randomly caught the VMAs like one year, and like they were performing like one of their songs. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But Cyber Theory was a great album.
Yeah.
The first concert I chose to go to was Blink-182. Mm-hmm. I got the concert going a little bit later.
I'm glad. Well, let me get back to my musical influences for a second. Just you saying Blink-182 reminded me that, for me, currently one of my biggest musical influences, basically I got really into rock in high school. I got really into Muse and My Chemical Romance.
Yeah.
My Chemical Romance to this day, and Muse, but mostly My Chemical Romance is like my favorite band. Like, they meant the most to me. They helped me through a lot of times, hard times, and, you know, they...
That's exactly them with White Stripes.
Mm-hmm. Like, when you... For me, what My Chemical Romance, like, it just, it meant so much to me because it was the first time I listened to music that made me feel that it was okay for me to be who I was to the degree I wanted to be
as
a person. Like, I had always...
And, like, that's her thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just, like, being able to, you know, like, it's okay to be weird, it's okay. I mean, I'm wearing a My Chemical Romance t-shirt
right now. I noticed that.
I just like the shirt. They have very good graphic
designs. They do have really cool shirts.
Yeah, they do.
Like, I'm not the big... I like two or three of their songs, and, like, their shirts are so much cooler than the band art to me.
Yeah.
It's like my bloody Bullet for My Valentine.
Yeah.
Like...
That's a great band title, and, like, they have
And their shirts designs. Are you a fan of them?
I never really listened to them.
Like, I've heard some of the stuff. I'm like, they're a little too hard for modern rock.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But, yeah, no, I really like My Chemical Romance, and they are, like, a huge, huge, huge influence for me.
Hear Mike Hem a little bit in Circadian Clock.
The three biggest influences for me are going to be My Chemical Romance, Muse, and Queen. Those are, like, the three. But I have a ton of other influences. I love Esperanza Spalding. She's an amazing jazz musician. You know, System of a Down, as I already said. Green Day, Mars Volta. You know, I have a long list of, you know, different influences. Foxy, Shazam, like, different bands, and, like, Nine Inch Nails that over the course of time have, like, kind of touched me in small ways. And, like, oh, there's this kind of chord structure. Oh, there are these kinds of lyrical ideas. Oh, there's this kind of emotional painting, you know? Like, all of these bands have kind of helped me to, like, figure out what it is I want to do.
That's good. That's fucking awesome. That's really awesome. Like, yeah, I mean, it's so weird because, like, I'm not opposed to doing like a music episode. It's just like, it's just so cool, like hearing someone like being obsessed with music and having like being like two people like connecting over like obsessions, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, and I mean, I love music. I mean, I listen to music. I mean, I listen to music every day. So it's just like really cool, like talking to someone about music. Like, I feel like I never talk about people, like to people about music only.
Yeah. You know? I mean, music, you know, obviously it's my jam.
Yeah.
That's what I do. But I like, you know, I get obsessive. I get obsessive over things. I think...
Well, I know you're a slight comedy nerd.
I am. I would say... I can't compare...
Well, you're very funny to begin with.
Thank you.
You are very funny.
Thanks.
And, of course, you know, you are 15 episodes of The Get Third Show. 15 bizarre. Because that's like when they start doing really weird shit.
Yeah, no, I mean, I love weird shit, man. My favorite episode of The Get Third Show that I was on was probably the Robot Bites one.
Yeah.
I love that.
And I told you my favorite while you were on it was the Hitmaster show.
Oh, that was a good one.
Yeah.
I fucked that up. That was my fault. And at the end when they were like, we were supposed to say the phrase all together, I just couldn't piece together that like the game, like that, like I was supposed to say my one line or the one word. Because I was just like, that's not what it was. So,
I don't even remember that you fucked that up.
Oh no, I totally fucked that up.
I haven't watched the episode like in a year. And whenever I watch, like, a bit of it now, it's just Blood Band murdering Drew. Because that's just the funniest thing ever to me.
It is. Murder is great.
But, like, because, like, as I've told many people before, I watched Get Third Show a long time before I even started attending it. Mm-hmm. And, like, you were in, like, I feel like during Man and Manager, they started finding their voice. During you, they understood their voice. Mm-hmm. And were able to go as weird as they wanted.
Yeah. That's awesome. I watched The Get Third Show. The way I found The Get Third Show, my friend Brian Carden, who auditioned for one of the randoms, the same season I did in season 3, I guess, right? Yeah, season 3.
Season 3.
No, because they just officially launched. I got no idea what's
going on. Random.
The third
random.
Me.
Yeah.
Me. Right before they got to the third random, I was hanging out with my friend Brian Carden, who auditioned for... He was random other Brian. And
okay.
He... You know, I was hanging out with him. We were just smoking weed. And he was just like, yo, do you want to watch this crazy show called The Get Third Show? And I was like, sure. And I watched it. And I watched... The first episode I saw was Random Andrew's Journey.
Which is the funniest thing.
It's probably... If it's not my favorite episode, definitely one of my favorites.
It's in my, like, top 10.
It's a good episode. But I watched
both
that,
the heroes and the villains' journeys are the two of the best episodes of the series.
But I was just like... I thought two things. One, this show is fucking amazing. This is awesome that so many people could just get together and do, like, a creative thing that's just clearly whatever the fuck they wanted to do. I'm so about just doing what it is you want to do and just making art and making it how you want to make it.
Yeah.
And I thought that was awesome. And two, I thought Random Andrew was cute. So I was like, all right.
He's a very handsome dude.
He is indeed. So I was just like, I'm going to keep watching this show. And then I watched the rest of it. I started from the beginning and I went all the way to, I binge watched it. I watched the whole thing.
Which at that point wasn't too hard.
Yeah. It was like 30 episodes. Yeah. So I was like, this isn't that hard. And then,
no more, because you start like in like 31 or 32.
Yeah. So yeah. I was like, yeah, I mean, it wasn't that hard back in the day. Now that's a fucking task.
There's 140 or so
Holy
now. Yeah.
Shit. So yeah, I watched all the episodes until then, and then I was like, Brian was like, you know, do you want to watch Get Third? He's doing like, you know, a stand-up at UCB, do you want to go? And then I saw it, and I was like, oh my god, this dude is like really fucking good. I love the way he tells stories, I love the way he crafts it, his word choices, his like timing, like everything about it, I just really like the dynamic of it. So I was just like, this is awesome, and then he was like, do you want to go to the show? And I was like, fuck yeah, and the first show that I went to was Loser is the New Nerd. And back when I was on the Get Third Show, I'm 22 now, I was 19 then. And between the ages of, like, 18 and, like, 25, you do a lot of growing.
Yeah.
And since then, I've done a lot of growing. I plan on continuing to grow.
I hope you do, yeah.
Yeah, I would like to not be, you know, I would like to be better forever, you know?
Yeah.
But when I was 19, you know, I was a lot more shy. I was a lot more in my shell. I was a lot more like, oh, I don't want people to be upset at me. I don't want to
You were really, like, you're known as one of more quiet randoms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that's because there was so much happening, I wanted to take it in. And you know what, I like watching how things flow, and I didn't want to interrupt that to draw attention to me, because the show wasn't about me, and I knew that. I was just happy to be there, because I liked watching it happen.
Right, right.
I liked being able to interact with it, and I learned a lot from being on that show.
Yeah.
Like, a lot. And I grew a lot as a person from being on there. But, you know, when I went for Loser as a New Nerd, I brought my violin, and I planned on going up and speaking, but I was so scared to, and so shy of being on camera, that I didn't. So... so that I just stood there. Like, if you watch this, there's a New Nerd, you'll see me in the audience with my violin. I think it was either on my back or I was holding it the whole time on the floor. But, like, I was watching it, and, you know, my friend Brian went up to speak, and then at the end, Gethin was just like, so, you know, if you want to be the new random, come next week. And I didn't tell this, I don't know if I ever told this to anyone. I told this to Griffin, and I told him to tell him, but you know what, it's a funny story, I'm going to tell it anyway. So that night, we all went to Linkin Park, and then, you know, afterwards, yeah. I was going home, and I was with my friend Brian, and this dude named Skylar, who's cool, and we were, you know, talking, and then Skylar was like, you know what, I'm going to audition next week to be the next random. And then Brian's like, yeah, me too. And I looked at them, and I was like, fuck both of y'all. I'm going to do it. I want it. Not because I wanted it before you said that. I want it now just because you said that. Somehow. Something in my head. And I was like, no, I want it. It's like when a kid, you know, like someone else is a toy.
Yeah, yeah,
like, no,
yeah.
I'll fucking want it. I could totally do that shit. So then, I went, did my piece, went on after Butch, which brutalized my spirit. It was so hard because when, you know, that was, I feel like, I don't think any other random had to suffer as hard as I had to suffer to get onto that show.
I feel like your round was like the hardest round.
I had to, it was so hard. There were 13 other contestants. We had to do that online voting shit. There was like 400 votes. Do you know how hard it was for me to get those 400 votes? I literally had to message almost everybody on my Facebook, call them up.
So you were like fighting for it.
I fought them. I don't think I've ever fought because,
like,
that hard.
I remember when it was like between you and Lauren, mm-hmm. like, you seemed so chill compared to her.
Well, you know, Lauren's cool, and we got
Lauren's all, like, Lauren's a legitimate friend of mine.
Yeah,
too,
and
like,
I've
Lauren during, Clark is amazing and awesome. Very funny.
Yeah, she's so fucking funny, dude. But like, we hung out that week, like the week of the voting. Like, even though we knew like it was gonna be down to us, because at that point when we were hanging out, it was like that. But I was just like, yo, do you want to like come out over and like drink some beer and like hang out and stuff? So we just talked about comedy and life, and like, you know, I played music. We just, you know, it was fun. And she's cool, but we both wanted it a lot, but my personality is just more, I'm just more of like a, you know, I like to observe more,
uh-huh.
and, you know, when there's so much happening, I get really quiet, but because it was a competition, it's not like, I can't be quiet during a competition, I gotta, you know, show my piece, but my personality is more of just like I'm just gonna like hang back. Kind of when I perform like music, I'm way the fuck in your face.
Oh,
like,
my God,
I'm super in your face.
Well, I remember when Chicane Clock did Gethin Show, because you're like mm-hmm. in the bait, like, because you're
I'm way more in your face now, man.
Yeah.
I'd go ballistic.
And as a human being, you are just, I know because we're close, mm-hmm. so I feel like there's no shell necessary.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like, I wonder how you are with like somebody you just meet.
I'm generally like pretty. I mean, it depends on their personality. I respond to people's personalities.
Okay.
But if I feel like you won't respond to my personality well, I'll hold it back. I'll kind of. It's not that I'll be disingenuous. I'll just engage parts of my personality that will respond to you more.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know? So, you know, if I'm meeting, like, you know, like a proper mother of, you know, some children, then, you know, I'll act more like some, you know, I'll display the parts of my personality that will interact. But if I see someone like you, I'll just be like, yo, what the fuck is up? Like, you know,
it's because I'm very chill looking.
You are.
I try.
You got a Wolverine X-Men shirt. Not that, like, new shit, that old school.
Oh, yeah, it's
old school,
like,
comic shit.
This is, like, the comics. This is, like, the way it was on the TV show, watching it growing up as a kid.
That's almost some Silver Age shit right there.
It is, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oof, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, wait, how did it feel like when you got to become a random?
Honestly, that was one of the happiest moments, I think, of my life that I can remember. Like, because I fought so... I don't think I've ever in my life wanted something as much as I wanted that. Because I loved that show. And I was like, if I could get on that show, that would mean so much to me. And I could spend time with people that I think are amazing. And, like, learn so much about, you know, performing, comedy, what it's like to do... To make art and to do what it is you want to do. And to just have fun.
Right.
It just looked like so much fun. And it's like, because when I watched that show, I was like, wow, that looks like some of the most fun you could have in the world. And
but
then,
even, like, during, like, watching, like, the Milkshake of Death or something like that, mm-hmm. that was, like, really fun.
Yeah, that looks like fun.
Well, actually, you have a weird taste of food, too, so...
I mean, look, you really think that weird taste of... I didn't want to eat that shit. I'm just saying it looks like fun. I ate the Sir Stroming. I did, there was that one episode. You know what? It actually tastes pretty good, but the smell...
That was the sardine.
Yes, fermented herring.
The herring.
From Sweden.
That previous guest, Stellan sent.
Holy shit. That shit smells atrocious. But it smells way worse from inside your own mouth. Because I took a bite, and it honestly just tastes like sardines, but it has like a papery texture to it. Like, it kind of falls away. Like, it's not, like, pulpy, you know? Like, it just kind of disintegrates.
So it's kind of like a weird, like, kind of like spanakopita, like how, like...
I don't know what that is.
It's the Greek pastry, like, where it's, like, spinach and like cheese.
Oh no, 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 it's not even.
But like the
that.
Like I'm talking about like the crust of it.
No, not even like that. Like I get what you mean by that, yeah. But it's not even that. It's like imagine, like you know, like when you submerge water and paper in water, and uh-huh. then like after a while, if you leave it, if you like touch your finger to it, it'll just disintegrate.
Yeah,
that's kind of the texture of this thing. Wow. But, you know, more. It's a little bit more solid, but it kind of disintegrates like that. And the smell that you have from when you're holding it is pretty bad. Then you take a bite, and you're like, oh, it doesn't taste bad, actually. And then you try to speak, and the smell leaves your mouth and enters your own nostrils. I almost immediately vomited. And then I just didn't talk for like an hour, because I was like, I can't. I didn't talk, and then I just breathed out of my mouth for an hour. And then I smelled like that for days. It was awful.
And it was just you and Murphy, right?
No, I think it was me, Drew...
Oh yeah, Drew. Yeah, yeah.
I think Murph. I don't remember if Hot Dog had some, but the point is, it was terrible. Yeah. It was so bad.
Like that was because like when you were on the show, it was before I attended the studio, and mm-hmm. I remember when I met you, I almost like fanboyed out a little because at that
I
point,
I always think it's really funny when like occasionally people do that, and I just think it's really funny. Or like sometimes people will recognize me in like random places, and it makes me smile. It makes me happy.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the most random place you recognize when we get
the most random place was I was backstage at the Best Buy Theater. I was seeing Twisted Sister, and my friend Sam is that I mentioned earlier. Her dad is JJ, friend of Twisted Sister. So she was like, "Do you want to come to the show?" And I was like, "Fuck yeah!" So we just hung out backstage the whole time. I got to like meet the band, talk to JJ. I've known him for a long time because I've been friends with Sam for a really long time. Yeah. And he's a really nice guy. Like he's the nicest. You know, he's always offered me advice and been like a good person to counsel to me. Which as a musician is like fucking.
Yeah, it's ginormous.
Yeah, he's a great guy. You know, he does fundraiser for uveitis, which is a disease that Sam has, which is a rare degenerative eye disorder.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but he's very, very cool. And so you know, I got to talk to him. Yeah. Got to, you know, hang out with her. And at some point, Dee Snider's son came up to me and he was like, "Hey, are you on the Geffen show?" Really? Okay. He's also a really nice guy. But that one was the one that caught me the most off guard.
That's hilarious. Does Dee Snider sound like Dee Snider at all?
Does he what?
Does he look like Dee Snider at
no.
all?
No. Well, I mean, it's hard to... No. He doesn't look that much like Dee Snider. I mean, I guess. I don't know. He's a nice dude. He's cute. But, like, I didn't really think that he looked particularly like Dee Snider. But I just thought it was really funny that, like, of all the places and of yeah. all the people, that was where that would happen.
The middle of Times Square. Yeah. An 80s rock star's son.
Yeah.
Recognizes
you. I know you.
Okay. Oh, man. Like, so, yeah, I know you told me before how much, like, you worked on the battle episode mm-hmm. for Get Through Show.
Yeah.
Explain that, like, a little bit more here, because you told me, because I remember, like, one of our first, like, long conversations was about how you, like, practiced.
I did. I had to practice moving in it, because I felt that I had an advantage in that. The way it worked, Gethard showed up to my house that morning. I had just taken, like, a shower, and I just, like, ran downstairs, because he got there way earlier than I thought he would.
Yeah.
He's actually pretty punctual. I never expect
anyone He's good to, about that, yeah.
I never expect anyone to be on time. He was like, "I'll be there." He was actually, I think, a little early, so I was like, fuck. So I ran downstairs, and then he just gave me a whole bunch of cardboard.
Big cardboard, too.
Yeah, like. A whole bunch. For, like, I mean, mine and Bethany's were a little smaller, because we're smaller than, you know, the rest of the class. Yeah. But he gave it to me, and then I just remember, like, I was interested because he gave it to me, and then at some point he just looked at me and he goes, like, I just explained, I was like, "I'm sorry, I was working on this project, and I took a shower, I wasn't expecting you to get here, I look like a fucking mess." And then he just goes, "You're a really interesting person." I, to this day, still don't understand why he chose to say that at that moment. I'll always appreciate it. And Chris has always been, like, a really good guy to me.
Oh, he's the best. He's like,
he really
super
is
nice.
Amazing. Like, he's been there in moments where, like, you know, I needed somebody, and, you know, he's been a person, he's helped me a lot. He helped me get, like, get a diversity scholarship at UCB for a class, for an improv class there, and, you know, it helped me to grow, too.
Are you taking more classes at UCB?
I would like to in the future. I don't have time for it right now. Improv is super fucking hard, and it's not where it's not where my natural skill set lies. Like, I'm a good storyteller, and I'm a good musician, and yeah. I'm good at preparing things. I am not great at improv.
Okay.
It's very hard for me because I think about things too hard sometimes, and then yeah. I get caught in it, and then I'm thinking, because I'm a musician and I know how chord structures work, I like to think that, you know, I like to operate in things that work similarly. So when it's like improv where it relies on another person and the game can change in a second, it could be like, you know, fuck whatever it is you were thinking, we're doing this now, that's more important. I have struggled with adjusting to that well. In my head, I'm like, okay, well, this will be funny, so I'll do this. And then sometimes we're like way past that, and I miss it. I got to work on it, but it's hard, and I really have a lot of respect.
It takes a lot. Like, my whole first year in improv, I was like, what the fuck am I doing? I like it, but I don't know what I'm doing.
I think, you know, if I...
I still don't even know what I'm doing sometimes. Like,
who does?
Like, in the jam, like, this week, I was doing a scene with Connor Ratliff, and then, like, I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I had an idea. It was a pretty simple game. Like, I was like, what am I doing? It was fine, though. It was fun.
Yeah.
Big laughs.
Yeah, that's
some from me, which is some from my stuff. Yeah,
that's good. Connor's amazing.
Connor is amazing.
He's always kind of intimidated me. Even though, like, about him suggests he's, like, the friendliest, nicest dude.
It might be the voice. I don't know. I hate saying that. But, like, I agree, because, like, when I first met him, I was a little intimidated, too.
I think he's the nicest dude. I think it's his eyes. I know it gets said a lot. But his eyes, his stare, it's just, like, very intense, which I think is cool, but it kind of intimidates me.
Okay.
But, like, what were we originally talking about?
The battle episode of Geffen.
Oh, yeah. So he showed up with cardboard, and then I sat in my house. I spent all day trying to figure out how to make this thing. So I, like...
How long did it take you to actually build it?
Like 4 hours.
Okay.
It took me a fucking while. And then, yeah, I just, like, you know, took apart pieces. And then I was, like, I thought about it. And I was, like, all right, I need this much mobility. How much am I going to need to do this? Well, I'm going to need to wrestle and move around. So, you know, I made, like, little shuriken to distract people because I thought it'd be cute. I made a little sword, which did nothing. But I just wanted to look like a legitimate robot. Like a Japanese-style fighting Gundam robot. So I made a sword and made some shuriken. My friend helped me bring it downtown because I was like, I can't bring this downtown. It was too hard. And then I had to like reconstruct it. I was like taping it up. I took like straps so I could hang it around my shoulders. Like I made
so you can actually like move in it.
Yeah. Because otherwise like it would just rest on me and then I couldn't put my arms through the holes I made for the side. So I like put straps on it like
suspenders?
Suspenders, yeah. Like, put, like, suspender straps on, like, the front and the back so that it would hold over my shoulders so that I could hold it up so that I could, you know, be able to move and stuff like that.
And you were pretty, you did pretty good.
Well, thanks. You know what?
Right, you beat the first person.
I beat Shannon.
Yeah.
Which
that's a, that's
which
a
no, great... totally nobody thought would happen.
Yes. I mean, you're, like, you're tiny and feisty and Shannon is... Mm. Tough.
Yeah, Shannon is real, real tough. And she's awesome. But
she's the best. I have nothing but love and respect for her.
Yeah, but my problem when I went against Bethany, it was more so, like, I was fighting against her. And because our box, like, the shapes of our things were similar, we just ended up wrestling each other.
Wait, because you guys both had, like, box-shaped boxes.
Yeah, I mean, that's how all of those boxes were. But, like,
I know Fidelius was, like, weird.
Oh, yeah, no, he just cheated, because he didn't, you know, he just didn't read the instructions, but, like, because Chris really did send us an email, but he never got the email, bro. But, because Bethany and I got, I think, the same refrigerator boxes, our things ended up looking pretty similar.
Yeah.
Mine's Sans, Lizard Tail, and Whitney Houston tribute, but we were, like, wrestling each other. And I got scared because at some point I realized we were wrestling and I was like, one of us is going to throw the other to the floor. And then I was like, but what if I throw her too hard and like she hits her head or something? Like, what if I really hurt Bethany? And then Bethany saw this weakness in my eyes of concern and then fucking threw me on the floor. And I was like, yo, bitch! God damn it! And then I couldn't get... She just jumped on top of me and I couldn't get up in time to protect myself.
I don't know why I just think of that. Like I don't know why I just think of, saw like weird anime version of you and Bethany, and then like Bethany like get like fire in her eyes, and then just like jump out of the box.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I remember seeing them because I remember you guys were wrestling at the end. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we were straight up like wrestling, and then I just really didn't want to. Like, I wanted to like move her to the point, or like I knew basically we were wrestling, and it's like the only way this is gonna end is one of us is gonna throw each other on the floor. And I'm bigger than Bethany. I don't know that I'm stronger, because she's pretty strong.
But you're like, about, like, 6 inches taller than her.
Yeah, so I'm like, I have enough of a height difference that I was like, I'm going to be okay. But then I was worried. I was like, but if I throw her, because it was, you know, it's hard to maneuver in a box. I was like, if I throw her, she's probably, she's not going to be able to move, maneuver. Like, if I throw her regularly in life, she'll catch herself with her hands. But I didn't know that she was going to be able to do that in the box, so I was really scared that it was going to hurt her. And then she took advantage of my weakness and then totally won.
Oh, boy. I really wish you talked to Bethany about this when I had her on the podcast. That was a weird, goofy episode. Like, we literally just were joking in Simple Studios the whole time. Mm-hmm. But it's fun. Nice. I want to talk about, like, because we have to talk about circadian clock, of course, a little bit more.
Sure.
So, like, how was it formed?
Circadian clock. Okay. When I was in high school, I started listening to Muse. And then Muse was, like, the first band that made me want to be, like, because I liked rock music before. And then I was like, rock is cool. But then I heard Muse, and I was like, because I was a classical musician who liked rock music, it was the first time I had heard of the fusion of the two.
Right.
And then it blew my mind. Like, I was like,
oh. My Uprising is, like, a perfect song for that, too.
You know what? The first song that really blew my mind was Apocalypse,
Please. Okay.
I heard that, and I was just like, oh, shit. Like, it fucking blew my
mind. It, like, clicked and everything. Yeah,
like, the mixture, because I understood the chord progression, because I had studied classical music, I was just like, I'd never heard anyone use those chords like that, and in that style, and the way that it was produced and arranged, I was blown away, and I was like, that's exactly what I want to do with my life. And then I would see, but I didn't, you know, get started on exactly, I just knew that's what I liked, but then I saw Sister Helen, like, which was this band that I, you know, they started way early in high school.
Right, right.
And I would just watch them, and, like, I would watch, you know, I just, they looked like they were having so much fun, and, like, it was cool to watch people just make art the way that they made it.
Uh-huh.
For the same reason I got into rock music is the same reason I like the Gethard Show. I just really like watching people make art the way they want to make it. So I would watch Muse videos, I'd see Sister Helen, you know, and then I was like, you know what, I want to make my own band. Like, that sounds really cool.
Yeah.
So started the band in high school, you know, just gathered some people. Louis, when, you know, was in my, went to my high school. Wes, I went to music summer camp with. And then Wes found Ayumi, who is, are still our current keyboardist. Louis and Wes are no longer in the band. But well, Ayumi's still our keyboardist, and Wes found Ayumi in that summer camp. And yeah, we just, and then we went through, like, a million guitarists. Like, we've
always, I feel, had, like, every band that, like, ever has happened, it, like, always goes through a million guitarists or a million drummers.
Yeah, it's one of the two. Yeah. Right now, we're super good on guitarists. So our guitarist right now is Ari Friedman. That dude, holy shit, that dude is so fucking talented.
Yeah.
That dude is so talented that when I asked him to join the band, I just expected him to say no, because he was just too important and good at music. I just figured he'd have other shit that he'd be doing. But no, he totally said yes, and I was like, cool. And then I realized the implications of how, like, he would play on our tracks, and, like, I would just listen and play, and then I was like, oh, I gotta, like, step my game up, like, way the fuck up, because if I'm gonna be playing with the Ari Friedman, I gotta be good, and I gotta take this shit way more seriously. So I started hauling ass at it. But yeah, we were together for years, and, you know, I grew as a musician. I learned some things, but I don't feel that I was growing as fast as I could. But that's because I didn't really know how to learn. I feel like the, you know, growth really depends on how well you're able to learn.
Right, yeah, of course.
And as I get older, I spend time learning how to learn. And the more that I am able to, the more that I grow my ability to learn, the faster I grow at a faster rate. So I feel like, you know, I've grown more in the last 6 months than I have in, like, you know, from 14 to 18. I've learned more in the last 6 months than that.
Yeah, no, I actually understand perfectly exactly what you're saying. Like, I feel like most of my knowledge in theater, like, because I spent 5 years in theater in college.
Mm-hmm.
Almost the whole time doing acting classes. Like, the way that I grew in the beginning compared to how I grew towards the end, compared to how I grow now, is, like, ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand exactly what you're saying there. Even, like, an improv, well, improv, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Improv, I'm like, I think I'm okay. That's really how it is. I'm like, I make people laugh, so that's all I know. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, no, but I really, you know, I spent time learning how to learn, but Ari joined recently, Mike joined recently, and then Ayumi's still on, and yeah, we've gotten, you know, this current arrangement of the band has only been together since, like, May, and right now we're playing with this really cool drummer named Leo. He's awesome, he's fantastic. But, you know, we're still kind of trying to figure out what we're doing. Right now, the, you know, the four permanent, the lineup that's permanent right now is me, Ayumi, Mike, and Art. And Ayumi is a beast at the piano and an insane person. She is, I think, the most talented person I know. Like, it's not fair. It's straight up not fair that you can put that much ability into one person. Because she's a genius. She is an art. She goes to school for architecture. She's an amazing architect. She draws, like, insane. Like, it's not even, it's crazy. Like, she could draw you realistically. Like, it's, like, perfectly, like, completely, like...
Well, I'm very unrealistic, so I doubt that.
No, but she can draw you. But she, like, her art, like, it's, like, you know, really top quality stuff. She went to art school for a while, and then, you know, she does architecture. She's an amazing dancer. Like, it's just, she's just...
She's just really one of those, like, Renaissance people.
Yeah,
she's like Phil Jackson, basically.
Yeah, that dude. Have you ever listened to his rap?
Uh-huh.
It's so good.
I don't think I've ever seen or heard or read anything from Phil Jackson that has not been floored by. Like, I've seen, quote-unquote, bad improv, but I'm like, what? No. Mm-hmm. Like, even, like, I mean, I've jammed with that guy many a times, because, like, Improv Nerds jam is, like, my shit. And, like, I used to go, like, he moved to L.A. Like, a year ago, so for about a year and a few months, I did the jam with him almost every week. Mm-hmm. So.
That's awesome. I'm totally jealous. It sounds like
hey,
so
if you
fun.
Ever want to, Monday nights to. At 10:30 is the Improv Nerds jam at UCB.
See you tomorrow.
Yeah. But, I'll be there.
All right, I will be there. I don't have anything to do.
Awesome. But, I'll text you to remind you.
Cool. I'll see you tomorrow. But, what are we talking about?
We were talking about Yumi being disgustingly talented.
So she's an asshole. No, she's really good.
Yeah.
And I really love working with her. Like, I'll literally write something like that's insanely complicated that would take someone months to learn. And not only will she learn it in an instant, but she'll pick it up by ear. Like, I'll just play it for her, and then she'll just play it back better.
Okay.
Nice. I can't play it. Like, it's too difficult for me to play. It's, like, true concert, like, concertante, like, you know, professional pianist kind of work that I will have to write out in a piano, like, on a program on a computer because I can't play it. And then I'll just send it to her, and then she'll just, like, bring it to, she won't even learn it ahead of time. She'll just show up to rehearsal and then go into a room for like 10 minutes and then just have it. It's not fair.
That's ridiculous.
She's an insanely talented person. She plays like the most complicated, like the hardest things you can play on the piano, she can play it.
I mean, like in the EP, like the piano stuff sounds fairly complicated.
You know, in the EP, we don't even really have, we don't really have that much piano.
It's, well, it is, it's complicated though.
Yeah, no, if you got time later, I'll show you like one of my tracks that we're working on now that has like an actually complicated piano part. There's some like, she's really a genius. I mean, I feel like everyone in the band that I get to work with is like a real genius.
I mean, you guys are a really good band, like, and you guys are kind of blowing up too, which is good.
Well, thanks.
Well, I mean, because you're like performing at like the cool venues now, you know?
Yeah, we just headlined the Knitting Factory.
Which is so fucking cool.
Yeah.
What was that like?
That was really cool.
You're blushing right now, too, which is awesome. I haven't ever seen you blush before.
Well, thanks. that was really, really fun. It was a good show, and I felt really good about it because I felt like it was like a good signifier that we were making progress as a band. That like people, we didn't go to the Knitting Factory, you know, the people who were booking that show asked us to play. And the same is true with we just headlined the Bitter End.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was cool because I've been to the Bitter End a whole bunch of times, and every time I go, everyone's always sitting and calm. And then when we played, everyone just stood up, and they were like, it was a hassle because our fans are totally, like, blocking everything because they just decided to stand in all the rows.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were standing in all the rows, and all the fans are standing in the rows. They're all just standing to see us. Like, there was nobody sitting. We were all just standing. Which I had never really seen before at the Bitter End. Like, everyone's always sitting. But
it's
like,
a pretty calmish venue.
Yeah, but no, people were, like, dancing in the aisles, and I was like, cool. I felt really good about it. But, you know, that was also cool because, well, we didn't ask them to play. They asked us if we wanted to play. You know? So I feel like, you know, we're starting to make some good progress, and I feel really happy about it.
That's
you know?
Good. That's good to hear. Is there when is the full length coming out, you think?
We're aiming to release that in the summer of 2015.
Nice.
Making some good progress. We're like a little bit more than halfway done, so.
Recording or?
Yeah.
And then it's like all mixing and all that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, for us, like, it's more of like a, do we have time to do it? Because I manage a recording studio. I manage the recording studio that I work at, make music in, so.
Yeah.
You know, I get paid. Like, one of the benefits is that I just get free unlimited studio time whenever it's available. You know, if there's, like, a paying session, you know, I'll, of course, defer to that because I want to make sure my studio is running. But, like, you know, whenever there's time, and there's always enough time that I can figure out what it is I want to do. But, you know, I get to do that, and I feel really blessed that I get to do that. Like, it's a real luxury.
I mean, you gotta watch music happen. You get paid to watch music happen.
Yeah. I mean, I don't work as an audio engineer there. I can do a little bit of production, and I do produce the music.
So you just, like, sit in the office, or?
Yeah, I manage a studio. I know the day-to-day operations. I bring in clients. I'll, you know, put out advertisements. I'll manage a studio.
Well, I mean, you help bring people come, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of work that we do, because we also do music licensing. Artist management. So I've gotten a lot of experience in what it takes to succeed in the industry. Like, you know, I placed other people's works with, like, you know, Oxygen and, like, different shows. I've managed different artists and had them go from, like, you know, someone that no one had heard from to, like, you know, playing giant clubs like XL Nightclub and stuff like that. And I've managed the event. And I've managed different events and parties, coordinated with the people working there, the staff. They're like, you know, I've done a lot of work, and I feel, you know, pretty good about the stuff that I've done.
Well, that's good.
But it's the nice thing about it is just that it's given me so much experience that I can now apply it to what it is I do.
Yeah. Like, use that for the future, for the band.
Yeah, like, now that I know how
to do it. I mean, in theory, you can manage your own band.
Yeah, I mean, I currently do manage my own band.
Well, like, when you're big enough.
Yeah.
Obviously, you don't want to when you're big enough.
No, I mean, I want to be in control of what it is that I do.
Right.
But I don't necessarily need to be sending all the emails and coordinating all the things. Like, I would really like to not have to do that. It's hard, and it's really time-consuming.
Yeah.
And, you know, I do it because, you know, it's my labor of love, and you got to do stuff you don't want to do what it is you got to do.
Right,
you
know? Right, yeah.
So, I feel like that's really what college teaches you. I feel like if you can get through college, you can get through anything, for the express reason that there's so much shit you're not going to want to do in college.
Exactly.
But then you have to figure out how to get what it is you want out of college. Like, I've only started enjoying college this last year, and that's because I figured out...
You're a senior now.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's just because I figured out how to get out of college what I want, and how to get what, like, how to develop as a person in the way that I want out of college.
Which is weird, because, like, for me, it was, like high school, terrible. College, loved it. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, I'm learning what I need to learn. So I can become the best actor, best version of myself, best whatever I can be.
Yeah.
So,
like, that's what I got out of college, and that's what I get out of, working in, you know, working in music thus far. And I'm excited to, you know, it's nice because I see it starting to work, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you're fucking talented, and, like, you guys are performing at nice clubs now. That's awesome.
Thanks.
Yeah. I can't see you guys headlining at Madison Square Garden.
I'd like that.
It could happen.
I'm working on it.
Hey, it'd be funny if it happens before the end of the month.
I don't know that we're going to play. I feel that would be.
But I will be seeing my hero, Jack White, though, at the end of the month. So, nice. Very excited. Never been to the Garden before either. So.
Oh, really?
I've lived here for almost 6 years, never been in the Garden. On January 30th, I'm seeing Jack White like 18 rows up in the Garden.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Really excited.
That dude's awesome.
Oh, he is the best guitarist, I think, currently. Mainstream, how about that?
I don't know enough guitarists to protest that, but he is an amazing guitarist. So yeah, I mean, he's definitely up there.
And the funny thing is, he's a better drummer than his guitarist, but no one knows that. Well, it's true. I mean, you've heard that, right?
I haven't, no.
Yeah, he got a start as a drummer.
Oh.
He in Dead Weather, he drums. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, that dude's like in a million bands, so he's impossible
to keep. Well, now he's only technically three.
Oh, only three.
Well, counting himself, four since the White Stripes. Well, White Stripes broke in 2012, so.
They're not active. But, like,
which makes me so sad. That was when I saw them live, that was the best concert I've ever been to. Mm-hmm. And have you ever seen the concert video, or the concert movie?
No.
Under the Great White Lights. Mm-hmm. I think that's the name of what it's called, but fantastic. Like, it actually conveys how much energy they pour out on stage. Like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I'll check that out.
Yeah. Man, I'm loving this episode.
I like this too.
Yahoo! Yay. I want to ask, like, so, what's, like, so, my brain just fired right there.
Sorry.
This is what happens when I record since the day before Christmas for the episode from last week. Mm-hmm. That's probably why I should record more often and stuff like that, but that happens.
Life happens, man. It's alright.
Oh, no, it was weird because, like, I had, like, this situation where, like, the day that James Volta's episode dropped, Morgan Miller was available to record. Mm-hmm. And now that they're one episode a week, it's like, oh, God. Ray doesn't know what to do, but I don't do an episode twice a week. what I was going to ask is, so getting ready to wrap up, like, what's something about you people might not know that you're okay sharing?
Something people might not know about me that I'm okay sharing.
I know you're, like, super fucking open. But
yeah, no, I don't, let me think about that.
Okay. It doesn't have to be, like, anything extreme. It could be something simple. I mean, I didn't even know you owned anything like that color before.
Oh, yeah, pink socks?
Yeah.
I can't do match socks. I suck at them. I don't have good organizational skills.
Oh, that's cool. No, it's just like, I've never seen you in pink before.
Nope, and you never will again. I don't know. Unless we start hanging out enough to the point where you continually see my socks. I actually have a lot of pink socks, now that I think about it. I never thought to think about it before. I don't know why that is. But I don't know about what. Like, what should I
do? Anything. Like, what's something like, you know, like, I don't know, like, you draw or something, I don't know.
I do draw.
Well, I mean, I don't know, like, something weird, like, something that's cool. Like, not, like, weird, but, like, something that, like, oh, yeah, it's
something
interesting.
Something people don't know about me? Yeah, I used to draw a lot. I actually used to do a lot of frame-by-frame animation.
That's cool.
Yeah, I really like drawing, and I wish I had more time for it, because I'm actually pretty good at it, but, like, not enough to the point where I would consider, like, you know, having art be a part of my career, visual art, like myself making it.
Yeah.
Although I do plan on, I would really like to write comic books, because I like writing a lot too. I'm just generally interested. My thing in life, more than being a musician, is I just like thinking of myself as like a storyteller. Music is the avenue with which I am the best at expressing it, and with which I have the most fun. But I have a lot of fun drawing. I have a lot of fun like telling stories. Like I try to do stand up for a little bit.
Oh, you'd be a great stand up.
Thanks.
Is your stand persona similar to how you are as a person?
Yeah. I can't really do it much different. maybe I could, but I wouldn't want to. It's generally about, you know, the same way that I am here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I tried doing that for a little while. It was a lot of fun, and I want to get back into it. But, you know, I just need to get out of college so I can have a little bit more time. I'll probably do it more over the break. I did one with Spencer, actually Rob Spencer.
Nice.
That was fun.
He actually
saw my first one. The first one stand-up that I... First, like, open mic that I ever did.
An open mic sometime soon. That's my New Year's resolution. I'm going to finally do it.
Okay.
Well, I have to do it.
Let me know when you go.
It's going to be terrible. It's going to be awkward and nerdy and sad, but, you know.
It's okay. That's where you work that stuff out. And you kind of figure out what it is you want to do.
Yeah.
I think the most interesting thing that life has taught me that I kind of figured out is, like, you're never ready when you think you're ready. You just, at some point, become ready.
And well, I mean, I'm not, like, going to, like, be like, yeah, I'm going to become a stand-up. I'm just giving myself the opportunity to do stand-up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
at least doing one open mic will quench that New Year's resolution.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, like, anything hard, like, eat healthy or anything like that. Like,
eating healthy is hard.
It's hard. Actually, not so hard for me anymore now that I work at a grocery store.
Nice.
But, not the easiest either, because I like food that tastes good.
Yeah. Me too. I mean, I used to eat terribly all the time, but
I haven't eaten McDonald's in like 6 months.
Yeah, me neither, man. I used to eat terribly all the time, but because my doctor, it was part of the things that my doctor included in the you can't do this shit anymore, you can't sing anymore. And then I lost a lot of weight. Like, I lost like, I think 15 or 20 pounds.
Really?
Like around there. I never kept close track of my weight because I've never cared.
Yeah.
Because, like, I never, you know, I was just, like, a little, you know, like, a tiny bit pudgy, but I never gave a shit. Because I really...
Now you're rock hard abs, right?
Yeah. I need to be skinny. I need to... that's not me, man. I don't give a shit.
Cool. What's something you're looking forward to coming up that does not involve you? Like, a movie?
Say that one more time.
What's something you're looking forward to coming up that does not involve you? Like a movie, a book, TV show, whatever.
They're going to make a Sandman movie. Do you know Sandman, Neil Gaiman, Simon?
Yeah.
I fucking love Sandman. That's my favorite comic, hands down.
Nice.
That shit drives me nuts. I think it's the coolest thing. I get so excited when I think about it. Those stories are so amazingly told, and like the variance of the way these stories are told, the media with which it gets told, the emotional storytelling, the content of the stories, how some stories are very dark, some of them you know, really, really light, some of them are silly, some of them are cute, some of them make you feel good, some of them haunt you for years. I love Sandman. I think it's one of the best. I think it's the best comic. Like, I freak out over it. And I heard that they're going to make a movie out of it, and I can't wait. I'm so fucking excited.
You already cast the actor for that, right?
I think that they said that I heard, I'm not sure, that Tom Hiddleston was going to do it.
That's what I heard,
which
too.
I feel would be a good casting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone loves Tom Hiddleston.
I personally feel like Neil Gaiman should do it himself.
Yeah.
Because he totally looks like Sandman. Yeah, he looks like Morpheus, Sandman. But I feel like Neil, I don't know if Neil Gaiman can act, but I would totally love for Neil to do it.
Cool. All right, what about plugs for you? Twitter, Tumblr, shows?
Okay, upcoming shows. We got a show this Friday, January 9th, at, I can do this, that Don Pedro's. We got a show the January 9th show is for the BK, like, wildlife. Like, there are these people that throw parties and stuff. So it's part of the 12 Days of Art Festival they're doing.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. Then, we have a show on the 22nd, which is at the Way Station, which is a cool venue.
Yeah, I heard it's an awesome place.
Yeah, it's cool.
That's the one that's like Doctor Who themed, right?
I'm not sure.
Or like sci-fi themed.
I think so, yeah. Yeah. And then we have a show at on February 6th, we're doing a very special acoustic show. It's acoustic classical arrangements of our songs at Hunter College. So, I got bored, and, well, my bassist was like, hey, you know, we can do this type of show here, would you like to do it? And I was like, okay, so I just decided to write a string arrangement of all of our parts, and then I'm working with people now to try and put it together. So, yeah, come to that if you want to hear something that's really different.
Oh, wow.
And then, that's free, too. And then, at February 14th, we're playing this awesome show at, the Black Bear, which is in Williamsburg, and we're playing that with Sister Helen and a couple other bands, so, you know, we're still kind of trying to get on, but the way that we're going to do that show, it's like this big Valentine's Day, it's supposed to be, you know, like women, you know, women forward, like, you know, all the bands that are going to be in it have powerful women featured.
Okay.
So, I believe one of the other bands we're having is called Izzy Zay. And she's cool. She's very cool. But we have, we're playing with them, and then, you know, we're still trying to convert. We're trying to get Hallie's band, actually. Hallie has a band with Alex, with a random messenger bag.
Yeah, yeah.
And this other guy, and we're trying to get them to play on it. You know, I would love to play with those dudes. They're awesome. And Hallie is honestly one of my favorite human beings.
Oh, she's like the best.
I love hanging out with Hallie.
They're, like, she's really fucking awesome.
Out of everyone on the Gethard show, and everyone on the show has been nothing but awesome to me, Hallie, more than anyone, makes me feel happy. Like, I've had the most conversations with her.
Well, you guys are both badass, like, front woman. Mm-hmm. So, which is all, like, really good, like, punky bands. Mm-hmm. Granted, she's more punk than you are. Mm-hmm. Because you're more, like, straight up rock.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, but it's funny because our personalities are so different.
In certain ways.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. There's certain things we share in common because we're still that very much like, you know, we're going to do what it is we want.
I feel like you're more sarcastic than she is, though.
Yeah.
By a lot.
Mm-hmm. I would say I definitely have a darker. She's more bubbly and happy. Yeah. And like, that's awesome. I'm more of like that dark, kind of like dark, chilled out, where she's more of like bright. But, you know, we share in common, you know, the basic tenets that make us good, powerful people, I think, are like, you know, we share that in common. Like, she's very much like a doesn't take shit from anybody.
Yeah, yeah, she's
does
strong.
Does what it is, what she wants to do, and lives life on her own terms. And in that, we get along very well.
Hell yeah.
You know, a ton of other things, but she's always really cool. But we're trying to get Hallie's band to play.
Nice. For that. Sweet. Okay. My plugs. Do you guys have a website too?
Yes, circadianclock.net.
And
we're a little bit more active on Facebook. That's the best place to follow us.
Do you tweet?
I don't, no, not really.
Okay.
I never got into Twitter just because the concept of having to say something in 140 characters appalls me. I just don't like, being limited in my expression.
Yeah.
So the fact that Twitter is a medium that's specifically made to limit an expression, I never got into.
Okay.
And I think it's cool that people get into it, and I think it's amazing that people are good at it.
Yeah.
But I just don't. Like, if there was a version of Twitter, because I use Facebook like I would use Twitter. Like, I'll, you know.
Oh, you know, that's the same with me, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like Twitter. I just don't use it enough.
Yeah.
I'm trying to also, mm-hmm. but yeah.
Yeah, but Twitter always just exhausted me. Because I don't like, because I'll say something on Facebook. What happened, like, I'll say something on Facebook, and then I'll try to modify it for Twitter, and I'll have to, like, change the wording of it. And it's interesting to see how that works and, like, the mental process behind it. But I don't like having to change my expression. Like, I liked exactly the way that I said it the first time.
Well, like, it's like, cause I posted, I did a tweet while watching, because I've been watching Friends like crazy for the last 4 days. And, you know.
You and Cotner, right?
Huh?
You and Cotner, Patrick?
Yeah, I'm a big Friends head, and I was, you know, more active watching '94 than he was, which, because I'm 7 years older than he is. But that's a different story altogether. Yeah, I posted a tweet. I'm like, do the Rembrandts ever have a second song? And then like, I posted on Facebook, and like, it got like 4 retweets and like favorites and stuff like that. But like, no, nothing on Facebook is weird. Because I'm like, okay, so something small and simple like that. Don't think 140 characters. Mm-hmm. Think 50 characters, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know, different mediums, different people. But I personally prefer Facebook.
I dig Facebook a lot. I mean, all the promotion I do for this is on Facebook normally, so. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just like it more. It's less limited. I just really don't like the fact that there's like a limit that I'm actually going to hit. I mean, Facebook hypothetically has a character limit, but I'm not writing essays on there.
Yeah, you're not writing like 100-page documents.
Yeah.
You're writing
like
a good...
A couple sentences, yeah. Maybe. If not just a sentence.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. All right. My plugs, quickly, at MarkTheV85's on Twitter. Odd fact there, right? hmpod@gmail.com is the email address for the show. I will respond to your emails. Now they are syncing up to my phone. I've been very good about that recently. You can ask any of Melissa or the other 3 people that will be coming on the show.
He emailed me. Now I'm here. And you can too.
You were on my list for a long time, though. You knew that. Because I find you fascinating and talented. Also, my improv team, Fallen Socks, which has a lot of people that have been on the show before, and a lot of future guests on it, too, because they're all amazing. This team is one of the funniest things I've ever been part of. I'm so excited about this team. We have our first big show at Dessert Car at Triple Crown on the 11th. At 9:30 p.m. And then we have we're doing Galaxy on the 17th at 5:30 p.m. at the Creek in the Cave. What else? You know what? If you ever want, this is for any listener out there. If you want Hit the Mark to come to your town, email me. We're gonna see if I can do that. I want to Hit the Mark in different ways this year. So yeah. It might be hard, but if there's a festival or anything like that, let me know. I will do my darndest to be out there. Email hmpod@gmail.com. And, of course, I'm coaching. Please, you know, let me know if you want to coach me. The easiest to get to me in contact with me there is improvcoaches.com. And I'll look for Mark Levy. Melissa, this has been fucking awesome.
This is fun.
Yeah. And I'll see you guys next time I hit the mark.